Well, I'm thankful for all who have led us in worship this morning and thankful for the opportunity to come and bring a word of proclamation. I'd like to offer a brief word of thanksgiving for the many cards and text messages and holy conversations that you all have had with me in light of the recent death of my grandmother. I'm very thankful for your care and your compassion as a congregation, so thank you. I'll be preaching this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's word coming to you and for you from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and you have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Let us pray together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everyone loves an upgrade. I've experienced some minor upgrades in my life. The car attendant at the car rental facility says they're all out of economy or compact cars that I reserved, but they've got a full-size one. That's a pretty good upgrade. The other day I was at Chick-fil-A and they were all out of medium-sized cups, so they upgraded me to a large. That's a sweet upgrade. And now, I've never had the dream experiences, but perhaps you have. I've never been upgraded to sit in first class on a flight, never been upgraded to the presidential suite at the hotel either. Now, these upgrades can take a good experience and make it stupendous, can take an average day and make it something worth talking about. And it can be something potentially where we see the value of the upgrade and never go back to a previous way ever again. This is somewhat of Paul's argument in Colossians 3. The writer challenges the listener to upgrade their thoughts, to think on the things above. This is not in the context of upgraded thinking, like going from common beach reads to highbrow philosophers. Not in quality either, from simple arguments to more complex ones. It's not a charge for us to turn off the basketball game and turn on Jeopardy, but instead, there is a mandate from Paul that our lives are connected and lived out in direct relationship to the embodied gospel as evident in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see this in the first line of the chapter. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. The first upgrade is the conditional word choice, as present in many translations of this passage. The NRSV selects, if you have been raised, while others see the same Greek particle of conditionality and upgrade it to, Since then you have been raised. Our resurrections are indeed spiritual ones, but we are connected in many ways to the reality of the physical resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is just such a way that our story intersects with the gospel story. In baptism by immersion, we are physically submerged under the water, taking the form of one lowered into the earth. This signifies a death to self, a burial of one's old way of life. And yet this area is somewhat hidden too. As Pastor Eric Porterfield says, though definitive, our death and burial are not fully visible since the things of earth continue to encroach on our lives. We see the paradox of a resurrection for us stated in the past tense, something that has already happened, and still a seeking imperative that extends for us into the future. Stated differently, our salvation is sure, our resurrection is certain, but as resurrected people, we must now transform to the new life given to us by God. We have to lift our eyes heavenward, not to seek our home, but to inspire us toward faithful action and to add new perspective to our lives. We are indeed also challenged to see and experience life with an eternal perspective, not just seeing what is plainly in front of us, but perhaps investing in what is hidden, setting our minds on the things above. Even in setting our minds on the things above, the things that are above us, we are likely to think of this exclusively directionally, but that is not what the writer is getting to. For while Christ is enthroned on high, in heaven at the right hand of God, we are not to lose our grounding on God's good creation on earth. We cannot be pie in the sky types of followers with our heads in the clouds. Many Christians have considered their perspective on setting their minds on the things above as ignoring present realities on earth and merely considering heaven as a type of escape. This is contrary to the ministry of Jesus. For Jesus spent a great deal of his ministry healing the physical bodies of people on earth. It was also Jesus himself who prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Instead, the charge to the Colossians of seeking things that are above and setting our minds on things above looks more like a banner hanging over the earth saying, "Under new management," as suggested by Bible scholar N.T. Wright. For above is the whole sphere in which Christ lives and rules and reigns. We, as followers of Christ, should live our lives with an acute awareness of the ways that Christ reigns and rules even now on the earth. This is the way that we live transformed lives in light of the resurrection of Christ and due to the new life available to us in connection with Christ's life. Since Christ has risen from the dead, we too are upgraded and uplifted, risen to new life. But life does not always feel this way. Life does not always feel transformed, even for the hopeful believer. In the Western movie Tender Mercies, Robert Duvall portrays a washed-up country music singer named Mac Sledge. He finds work at a motel owned by a widow with a young son. Duvall's character falls in love and marries this widow, and through her love, he develops a relationship with Jesus and begins attending a church. The man and his stepson are baptized into the Christian faith on the same day. And on the way home from church, the boy says, "They told me I'd feel different after I was baptized. I guess I feel a little different, but not much. Do you feel any different?" "Not yet," is the simple reply from the man. They also told me I'd look different, too. Do I look any different? Not yet, said the man. The process of transformation is usually gradual. The letter to the Colossians suggests that new life in Christ would inspire us to put away the old self, getting rid of vices and ways that lead toward death, and putting on a new way of being in connection with Christ's resurrection. Faith in Christ does not mean that all will be easy from here on out. Living a resurrected life does not mean we will not be tempted by the things of this world. Faith in Christ does not mean that our lives will be without everyday challenges. It simply means that we can be assured of the promise that Christ is alive and will return, and we are invited to join in his victory. It's striking, then, that the writer of this epistle, likely Paul, would write about victory in these circumstances. There is some debate among scholars, but many agree that this writer to the Colossians, this letter to the Colossians, and the letter to Philemon were written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome at the end of his life. Paul challenges the early Christians in Colossae to lift up their eyes, to be people aware of God at work in their midst, to be people inspired to live holy and generous lives, not stuck with their eyes looking down. Victor Hugo's Les Miserables as a stage production begins with Jean Valjean imprisoned for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread. He's granted his parole, but the words sung during the opening song do not inspire freedom. They remind him of the proverbial prison in which he will remain. They sing, look down, you'll always be a slave. Look down, you're standing in your grave. How easy it would have been for Paul to have had the same perspective. How easy it would have been for Paul to live into the simple self-help schemes that the aesthetics were offering. How easy it would have been for Paul to lose hope, but he does not. He encourages the recipients of this letter and us as modern readers to live a life on earth under the resurrected King Jesus as the Lord of all creation. Looking down is easy for us to do, but it doesn't lead to following Jesus on the move. Looking down might look like living into the distractions of our lives, obsessing about getting our own way, prioritizing career success to the detriment of family or spiritual life, looking down at those little computers we keep in our pockets. Looking down might look like the monotony of uninspired living, stumbling from place to place without much consideration, appointment to appointment, task to task. Certainly, there must be more to this life. We can be tempted to spend our lives shuffling around with our eyes set only on the things right in front of us. And if we don't look up, we may miss what Christ is up to in this world, missing the things from above. Sometimes we can also try to upgrade our own lives on our own merits. We know that our lives are flawed, or if we're really honest, that there's a deep ache or pain in our lives. Digging down and removing malice and slander is a good thing. Cleaning out and getting rid of anger and wrath, abusive language and lies is a very helpful practice. These things should stay in the grave. But we are to live lives resurrected beyond these things, always keeping in mind that following Jesus is far more than cleaning up our lives and sanitizing our actions. Christ wants us to live an uplifted life, thinking on the things above. The uplifted life in which I'm speaking is not about upgrades like the presidential suite, first-class airfare, better rental cars, or even large sweet teas. It's not about the lift of human hands either, attempting to bear the weight of our own sin or death. but instead about lifting our perspective, our consciousness, taking note of the heavenly kingdom in which we now belong, and pursuing conduct consistent with God's reign. In lifting our eyes, we take steps towards spiritual maturity as a result of our new life in Christ. You've likely known people like this in your life. They're not perfect people, but they're people striving to be more like Christ with their eyes set above. They don't seem to be bogged down by struggles or pain, but they're not immune from them either. They're resilient and strong. They're emotionally connected and stable enough to laugh at themselves. And like all other humans, they live in this old world, the world as it is, but their eyes are set above, where they participate in this new creation as well, this realm that is hidden. I've been lucky enough to know several of these people in my life. One such person was a regular volunteer in our youth ministry at a previous church where I served. Gail had known pain within her life. She had lost her husband some years prior. She had known both joy and frustration from teaching school for 30 plus years. She knew her limits, but she deepened her faith in God and continued to say yes to ministry opportunities well into her 70s. She took classes and pursued theological education online. She went with us to summer camp with a bunch of middle schoolers. She went skiing with these students. She helped lead an annual hiking trip as well. She was over 3 times my age and easily beat me up humpback rock. That's what I think of when I consider the implications of looking up, setting our minds on the things that are above. On paper, these relationships made no sense. But within God's reign, Gail was removed enough from these students to be a non-judgmental listener. She was wise enough to share a bigger and more expansive perspective. She had looked up enough to see where God was on the move. We too can recast our vision with God's help and look heavenward in our perspective. Jürgen Moltmann stresses this point in his book, The Source of Life, stating, "The experience of God deepens the experience of life. It does not reduce him, for it awakens the unconditional yes to life. The more I love God, the more gladly I exist. An uplifted life is indeed possible, not just by cleaning up, but simply by looking up. Since we have been raised with Christ, let us set our minds on the things above. A table is prepared before us, a table where Christ lifted up elements of bread and cup, calling and reminding us as well that our lives are lifted up by God's reign and Christ's resurrection. Let us live uplifted lives, with our eyes and our minds set on the things above. Amen."